Welcome back to the Swing Hard Podcast. Today, I'm here with one of my senior vice presidents, Gord Courage. Gord, you oversee this golf course we're at today at Bears Paw in the Hamptons. We're going to get into some of the things that we get asked a lot in this industry. Maybe the number one question that I get asked, I'm sure you do a lot as well, is, gosh, it must be nice being in the golf industry. What do you guys do in the winter? What would be your first response to somebody that asks you that?
Well, my response would probably be, I'll tell you what I don't do all winter long.
Right.
Of course, the common perception is that the winter slows down. We get to play some golf. We go away down to Phoenix or Arizona, somewhere down there.
Right.
We have way more time to kind of just hang around and have coffee with members and things like that. And
that's not reality.
That is not reality. Yeah. I said,
but it is a common question, right? Like, people ask us all the time.
If I had a dime for every one of those questions,
we wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
That's right.
So I want to take a little bit of a step back because I want to talk about the off season in general, but we're just about, three or four weeks from the courses being closed. Let's take a step back to maybe early October. Talk us through a little bit about what we do to get the golf courses ready for winter. What does that look like?
Well, I guess almost even in starting in September, things right. start to wind down from a staffing standpoint. As you know, our industry has a lot of seasonal staff.
Yeah.
So come September, the golf course is still very busy. And of course, what you end up having is a whole bunch of students that are going back to school.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got the same amount of work, but now you have less people to,
right.
to deal with it.
That month of September is really a month that's difficult in a lot of regards, isn't it? Because weather can be great. Lots of corporate events. Members are wanting to get a bunch more rounds in before the winter. And we've shrunk our team quite a bit. So,
yeah,
good point.
Yeah. And, so you lean on your full-time staff a little bit more.
Right.
Everybody chips in a bit more doing other departments, helping out in each department. But you still have your weddings and functions and large events. So it certainly is a change from the August when you have a lot of people. Then you move into October, and now you really are winding down. So from a golf course standpoint, that's probably the biggest thing.
Out actually physically on the golf course.
Yeah.
Right.
Putting that golf course to bed, which is, hugely important. It's not just shut the doors and tell members and public that there's no more room to no more time to play.
Yeah.
You've got to do a number of different applications of things for the golf course so the right. grass remains healthy. Depending on the golf course, you're putting on plastic tarps on all the greens and sometimes even the tees. And every golf course is a little different, but it's a huge project.
Right. So you mentioned putting the golf course to bed, which in the industry, we know what that means. I think a lot of golfers probably would as well, but some may not. And you're starting to describe some of those activities that we do, like putting tarps on greens. Walk us through that actual process of what that entails of just the greens themselves.
Just to put the tarps on, I'll use Bears Paw as an example.
Right.
We use a bubble wrap as well as some other tarps, and they do some venting. It'll take, as a matter of fact, there's another example. We even lean on some golf shop staff to help out.
100%, yeah.
Doing these things in the wind is a huge issue, of course.
The tarps become sales.
Tarps are sales, and
right.
occasionally you find them in a yard next door.
Yeah.
and it's going to take 6 to 8 people to hold that tarp down to even get it into place. And then all the other things, long time ago, they used to nail those tarps down with just small little boards and nails, and they've moved to more... what would you say?
Sandbags and various other ways
other
of
things that
weighing
don't actually
them down.
Leave marks.
Right.
I remember years ago, I was worked on the grounds crew at Earl Grey, and I remember when you'd lift up those tarps at the end
How
of the season.
How many years ago was that?
Only 35.
Okay, 35.
You'd lift up those tarps, and there'd be train tracks of marks all over
right.
the green. So you had to deal with that in the spring and wait till the grass started growing there.
Yeah.
Now it's much more advanced. Our superintendent here keeps track of the humidity and the pressure and all those things underneath the tarps on a regular basis throughout the winter.
So it's actually become pretty scientific. Like you just mentioned humidity as an example, the monitoring of these actual greens throughout the winter. Even before we put the tarps down, we also do a couple of other things, right? There's types of winter protection chemical we've got to put on those greens, top dressing. Often an aeration happens, you know, quite close to before the season ends. But those are all important steps that our superintendents undertake to make sure that our greens in particular have the best chance of being healthy coming out of the winter into the spring.
Correct. And on top of that, you have to do this all within the timing of members and guests still out there playing.
Right.
Frost delays and frost. So you have a smaller window, shorter daylight hours. And then always the threat of what happens if the weather turns and the snow comes.
We get a blast of snow and it doesn't leave, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's actually happened. I mean, knock on wood, it hasn't happened to us too much in the many years we've been doing this. But there are times where people get caught and, you know, the golf course closed a little bit later than it could have or maybe should have. And then in this part of the world, we can get a blast of snow and it'll stay through, you know, January at least before Chinook comes or something like that, or December sometime, and then people don't get their tarps down, and then you're really running a risk of what are those greens going to look like come spring.
Correct. And you know, from a snow standpoint, if we knew, unfortunately we live in an area that, or unfortunately maybe, that we have these Chinooks, and if we knew we were going to be socked in with snow all winter long, the tarps might not even be needed,
right?
Because there will be some insulation in
there.
There'll
be a great insulator.
Yeah. And the other thing that you do in October, and people do in their backyards as well, but it's a much more bigger project, is the blowing out of your lines.
Right.
And you've got to get a big compressor for that. You've got to blow them out. You got to make sure you do that before the frost gets too deep.
Yeah,
and the snow comes. Otherwise, you've got major issues.
You're not going to have irrigation come spring.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but you mentioned a good point about the insulation of the snow itself, because you know, at one of our other golf courses at Heritage Point, there's one green I can think of in particular that keeps snow year round, and we don't cover that green with a tarp. In fact, there's times of the year that we worry about ice damage, and we'll probably go into another podcast and talk about this with some of our superintendents, where there's kind of a window there, kind of early spring, late winter, where you've got to really be cautious of ice damage, and you can really have tremendous damage that happened to the greens. So we're actually plowing snow off greens at certain times of the year as well.
Yeah. And you know what I would say too, if you've ever shoveled your driveway when the snow is thick and wet,
right,
try that for 200 acres of greens that are 4,000 to 5,000 square feet each.
Right. You need a mass of people, and it's cumbersome and tiring for sure.
Correct.
Okay. So greens is obviously a focus, you know, getting courses put to bed, as we've discussed. What other things happen out on the golf course? We talked about blowing out the irrigation. That process in itself is super important, because, you know, we actually went through a situation here recently where we had some ice buildup in some of our irrigation lines, and we didn't get our irrigation working at one course in the last year here until June, because that's a serious problem. But beyond that, what are a few of the other things that can happen out on the golf course as we prepare for winter?
Well, I guess the other thing you're doing is you're bringing in all of your supplies and equipment. And that's, again, that can be a big project. That means all your benches and all your ball washers and all your tee markers and all the rakes from every bunker.
Right.
All those types of things have to be handled. And then you got to put up snow fences. So it's a big process. And, you know, you're also at it doing it at a time as your revenues are starting to drop and people aren't, coming to the golf course. So, you know, you have to time it, and you have to also manage the labor side of it too.
And we're asking the team typically, you know, because we have a pretty short golf season here compared to many places in the world, we're asking them to do all this work in a pretty small window. Just because we're trying to push the envelope to stay open kind of late within reason. And then we're saying, okay, we got to get all this stuff done before that blast of snow or before it gets too cold and winter's here.
Yeah. And like I say, sometimes you have a small window because of frost.
Right.
And now you can't get on the golf course until 11 or 12 o'clock, and you only have 4 or 5 hours to do that. So, there are days that you'd be lucky to get two tarps down in one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we put the course to bed. We get ready, for the golf course to wind down. Let's talk a little bit more about the actual off season. The golf course is now closed. You know, that's kind of the stage we're in right now, right? We're here in November, mid-November. What are some of the things that you're doing, our teams are doing at this time of the year?
Well, I always say to people, we're doing way more than you think.
Right.
Behind the scenes. First you have to put the year to bed. And again, moving inside, it's putting together, dealing with your pro shop inventory, dealing with, member accounts and the financial side of it,
right.
Cleaning up, making sure everything was done properly throughout your events, kind of looking back for the, over the season, trying to put that to bed while knowing you don't have a lot of time to do that because you got to turn,
right.
You got to change gears and look towards what's going to happen for next year.
Speaking of cleanup, I noticed a couple of things we're going to have to talk to our head pro about that we should probably bring in that are still outside, right? So all those kind of things that are there need to get done. But it just takes time to get it all completed.
Yeah, everything takes time. We're going through a process now of cleaning out our sea cans that we're storing our old clubhouse items in there. And again, another big process of documenting that and seeing what you need, what you don't need, pulling it all out. Some of it's very heavy stuff. For example, you're right. There's a lot of stuff just even in and around the clubhouse that you walk by and you realize we got
to
take
that
those.
That needs to get done.
Yeah.
Right.
And even winterizing the outdoor washrooms in the halfway house, you got to make sure you're doing all that winterizing just like everyone does for their trailer or outdoor facilities.
Right. So we're talking about the actual building, the golf course, the components of that as we're in the off season. What about the business elements? When we're thinking about moving forward into the next golf season, we're in the off season. What are some of the business components that we focus on this time of the year that you focus on in the rest of our team?
Well, I guess first off is analyzing what happened in your previous season.
Good point,
Looking at where you are relative to budget, seeing where where you can make improvements for the following year, making sure everything is properly done. There's always a few surprises every off season, and to follow up on things that you haven't got payment for something or something else needs to be charged or it's been put in put in the wrong account. I mean, there's a lot of accounting stuff done in the off season, and then moving forward into the next year is kind of looking at what your budgets are going to be. What's the next year looking like? We've got inflation going on right now. How's that going to impact the business?
So we're working on budgeting right now for the next golf season. We reflect back and look at this golf season. And you're right, like business in general, and in this industry, there's always surprises. This year has probably been utilities to a small degree, but our gas, diesel expense and maintenance department is probably a little bit higher than we anticipated. Just mentioned inflation. We've had probably cost creep in some other areas of seasonal people, but those are really important things because we're now planning in November to what our expenses are going to be starting kind of most of our expenses, at least starting kind of April through kind of October of next year. And that process alone, the budgeting, talk us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors. So you've got to, look at your membership size. Look at how many rounds of golf do you think you're going to do from whether it be members or publics or guests. Trying to figure out how many people are going to take a locker for the season versus last year. Like, it's things that are very hard to predict.
Right.
And obviously, you have to go off of some historical data. But other things affected, even last year, for instance, who would have predicted. The COVID is one thing, but who would have predicted all the supply chain issues?
And we're still having those.
We're still having those. And, there are things that you wouldn't even think of, but as you know, we had a large new cart fleet purchase.
Right.
And we've purchased those in 2020 and expected we were going to have them when we opened the season 2021. And by not being able to get those until the middle of the golf season, we had to, at one of our facilities, we had to rent other golf carts. We had to fix other golf carts up, which was a huge expense that we never, we didn't budget for.
Didn't anticipate.
Always those surprises. And so you got to react to those surprises in your, in your next year as well.
Well, and kudos to you and the team here because you at least foresaw us needing those carts. So we were able to get carts at most of our facility, at all of them actually, so that we could still service our members and our guests because without them, we would have been short.
Sure.
And then we would have had a problem in the entire golf season where we'd be turning people away that want to take a power cart, which then would have a more drastic impact because, so many people are just accustomed to taking a power cart when they come golfing these days, especially your members. If they've paid for a cart or the expectation is to have the cart, regardless if it's outside of our control from a supply chain issue, it would reflect on us by not having carts if we weren't able to figure out a solution. So those are great examples, definitely, that we have to think through during this entire process of the unexpected things, like you mentioned, that can impact budget.
Yeah, even in the COVID, who would have thought that you'd send four people out and every one of them would have to have their own separate golf cart?
Right.
You know, those are things we've never experienced before.
So. Right. Yeah, absolutely. No question. So we're getting into budgeting now. That's an important part of what we're doing. It's time consuming, and I don't think people realize this is not something that you can just shuffle off to a bunch of other people in the organization. You have to be heavily involved in it. You know, I provide input. Our senior other management team provides input. How do you make some of those tough decisions? Like, I know we do analysis based on the previous year. Who else do you go to within the organization to help provide some of that budgeting process?
Well, outside of yourself, of course, you're really going to rely on your department head and the managers of each department, your head golf professional for golf, your chef and your food and beverage manager for the food and beverage side, and of course, your golf course superintendent for that. And we rely heavily on their input, but also, also their foresight and understanding of the business and where we're going to go in the future years.
Right.
Again, your head professional knows the golf membership better than anybody else and the clients. So they're going to know a lot of what's needed for the following year.
Yeah. And then, budget's important for us to get down now and get done quickly because we've got to get like dues notices out to our members at our clubs. And without having our budget done, pretty difficult to, have some perspective on what our dues should be for the upcoming golf season. So that would kind of take us up into December sometime. We try to get those dues notices out. Fortunately, we do take a little bit of a break around Christmas, 2 weeks, which is a well-deserved break for the entire team without question. Yeah. Now moving into January, what kind of things do we kind of do in January? Now we're kind of prepping for the golf season. Like, people would think, oh, January, February, March is probably still pretty slow, but we're actually starting to get busy and pedal to the metal early in the year for sure.
Yeah. I mean, once your budgets are done and where you're going from that direction.
Yeah.
There's two parts of it. Come January, you actually give some staff a time off as well, right? People are going to take their holidays. So once again, you have less people.
You mean you don't get holidays during the golf season?
That's called a Sunday
once in a while. That's called a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. That's a round of golf.
Together where we talk business.
That's right. Yeah. So come January, now you're dealing with a whole bunch of other things because now you're looking forward and now you're trying to set up all your events and your functions and how you're going to handle these things and getting your website updated and all the things that are...
The marketing components are super important to attract new members.
Yeah, the whole membership drive is another thing. And even just from your members alone, this is, the stuff we do in January and February are probably the most important things to them. That they want to know when the season starts that things are ready and done and prepared for and, what's the season look like ahead.
And you mentioned kind of an analysis of the previous year as it related to budgets in particular, but we also have an entire analysis. We meet as a management team often and frequently as senior leadership, senior management, talk about policies, procedures, the experience-based things are becoming really important to us in this industry. Those are all things that we reflect on and say, hey, how do we actually get better on a go-forward basis as well?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the off-season is what do we need to improve on? What are some new things out there that'll make the experience better for the average golfer out there? And new technologies, as you know, there's a lot of new technologies out there. Your top tracer at the launch pad is a good example of that. And how does that change the dynamic? And what of those technologies can we integrate? And anytime you bring in a new technology, there's a whole learning curve and setup of the procedures and how everything works as well.
I'm glad you mentioned technology because I want to kind of mingle that topic with something else we were just talking about, analysis of what we did maybe wrong and how we can improve in the future. And I think one of those things that we're looking at currently is a new point of sale software because in the past, we feel like one of our weaknesses has been our balloting system and it's been a bottleneck where we've made mistakes. It's very cumbersome. It's time consuming. There's a lot of room for human error. Talk us through a little bit about what we're analyzing right now and the process of potentially moving to a new technology that'll help us make that process more seamless moving forward.
So you probably don't remember this because you're so young, but when I started in the business, we had big pieces of paper.
I still remember paper and pencil.
And erasers. It's tea times were basically booked on that and in further back.
And phone only.
Yeah. Walk-in phone only, nothing online. You know, that creates a whole new dynamic. Right. A lot of convenience in that, but lots of issues.
Right.
Just for people that don't know what a ballot system is, or a lottery is what some call it.
It's
just an automated way of giving selecting tee times.
Managing
the tee sheet to some degree.
Especially on weekends when the majority of members want to get out and play the most.
Correct, yeah. And when, you know, in the not that long ago when we were doing it manually, it's a huge process. You know, it's on a Sunday whenever you do them, but, you know, often we would do them on a Sunday evening for the following weekend. It can be a 6 or 7 hour process. And if you have a lot of interruptions, it's even longer. The new ballot systems nowadays can be a push of a button in a 15 to 20 minute process, and it does it all by itself. But as you know, for us to be able to do that in a couple of our facilities, our current point of sale system doesn't handle that. So we're in the middle of evaluating, you know, new systems.
Right.
Anytime you put in a new point of sale system,
the whole new,
everything is new, from accounting to memberships to tee times to everything, you name it in there, all the profiles. So again, it's a big decision and a lot of work.
It is. No, most definitely it is, because there's a lot that goes along with it, without question. We've done it a few times, probably going to make that change again. It looks like, hopefully, you know, we make the right decision. I think we will, but yeah, I think it's an area we've fallen a little bit short of. We recognize that we want to improve. And this is one thing that some of these newer POSs that can really help us with in one small instance alone would be the balloting, the lottery system, to ensure we don't make as many mistakes moving forward to, you know, create a happier membership in general.
Yeah, happier membership and certainly happier staff that don't have to deal with that.
Okay, so lots of things are happening in the off season. We've talked about it for a few minutes, some great examples. As we kind of creep into that, you know, March period, April, we're getting close to the golf season. Talk through some of what's happening that time of the year.
Well, you know, we haven't even talked about staffing, but, you know, now you got to ramp up. Now you've got
inventory.
We've already purchased the inventory. We didn't really talk about that. You're doing that in October, November, which is another.
We could sit here and talk all day about stuff we do in the off season.
But now you're getting into, okay, who's going to work for us? We go from 15 to 20 employees in the winter, and we ramp up to 90 to 100 fairly quickly.
And that's just here.
That's just one club.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, organization-wide, it's a lot of people you got to get ramped up. We're fortunate in our industry that we have lots of people that are gravitated to it, because it's a fun industry to be in.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate that we get a lot of returnees, whether it be the youngsters that work in the outside services that start when they're 16 and they work with us. You know, many of them work with us for 8 years. They go through their high school, they get into university. It's still a great job for a student in the summer. So we're fortunate to be able to keep some of these people for 7-8 years, but certainly not all of your staff. So you've got to find some new ones and retrain and get them involved with all the expectations that they're in, all the projects that you need to do in the industry to get the golf course ready. We didn't even talk about driving range mats and all those types of things that you got to take in the winter and bring back out in the season.
Well, and like you said, that training process alone, you know, especially because we've just spent, you know, 3, 4, 5 months reviewing our processes, you know, areas we want to make improvements. So even people that have been with us that are seasonal employees, seasonal people on our team, they may not, or they're not going to know the changes and things we want to implement moving into the new golf season, right? Because we're always trying to evolve and get better. Yeah. And as I mentioned, as we move towards more and more experience, how do we elevate that experience? You know, it's really our frontline team that is really going to deliver those results for us. It's the best possible way that we can, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and even the past couple of years has been difficult, with the pandemic. where normally you can get people in well in advance. Right. You know, the last 2 years, we did not know whether we were going to have a golf season or not. And when we did,
there's a start and stop.
Yeah, the government gave us a green light, and it's literally, you know, a matter of a few days. So you don't have the normal preparation and training of your staff that you would like to have. And you couldn't congregate in big groups to even do a mass training or anything like that. So,
well, there's always something going on in our organization, I think, in the industry in general. I mean, this clubhouse is a good example of that, right? This is a brand new clubhouse. Beautiful clubhouse, awesome facility, but it didn't get turned over to us until what, May of this year?
Yeah, we had golfers before we had the clubhouse open. Yeah,
right. And so that has an entire different complexity of issues and things we've had to work through, because we're really learning on the fly. Systems, not working properly. We're still dealing with an HVA system that I think is hopefully getting there, but it's been 6 months and you know, required a tremendous amount of time, effort, and energy to get that fixed. But yeah, again, your team has done a great job here considering the circumstances. It's been tough moving into a new building, because you had one building. That building was, you know, taken down late last year, and then we moved into a brand new building. Just the operational flow, you know, how many people we even need outside the building, all the different components of the operation are a little bit new in some regards.
Yeah, and it's all the little things too that you don't even think about, you know, the phone systems and the office supplies and
the spike cleaners for golf shoes.
There's just a ton of things that and all you can do is work on that throughout a busy golf season, figure out what you're going to need in the off season so you can be better prepared for the upcoming season. But we're still fortunate to have this amazing building that we're able to operate out of now. And like I always tell people, you know, what I like about the golf industry in the winter is that I get to come to paradise every day. It's almost like our own little private massive office with beautiful views out there.
Yeah.
So it is a very nice place to be in the winter, but we're not sitting around with our feet up and drinking coffee and watching golf tournaments.
Gord, the last thing I want to talk about, just leading into the golf season, what does a week before we actually open look like?
Chaos.
One word, chaos.
That's the week when I want to go down and watch the Cowboys.
Right. Yeah, it's busy, but we just mentioned things that have got to get back into the building, like, you know, spike cleaners or bag, key or check-in counters outside. All those things now got to get back outside. Inventory management. What are some of the other things that we're doing in that last week or so?
Well, and you're also, you're answering a ton of phone calls. I mean, people are excited about the golf season, as are we.
Yeah.
So there's always, and I wouldn't call them interruptions, but you're just constantly picking up the phone.
People want answers to questions.
Yeah. And so we want to give them time. And that's one of our favorite things about the business is the time we can spend, you know, with the customers and the members and the chit chat and stuff. So you're kind of caught in between, I got to go and I got to do this, and I want to chat as well. So there's a lot of stuff in every single department.
And typically we haven't not fully brought our team on, because a lot of the people that we do have are not off school yet, right? The seasonal people that are in university and whatnot, because we typically will open kind of mid-April. We try to get as many of them here as we can, but that presents challenges as well, especially as we're getting ready for the golf season.
Yeah, we lean on the people that aren't going to school and the retirees that help us out and things like that. And then we bring in the students. We try to do some work at night, you know, so we'll, you know, we get them after their school shift and bring them in for a night shift of work as well.
Sounds like we have some work to do in the next few months.
I think we're not going to go to too many games down south.
We definitely won't be. Well, yeah. Gord, thanks so much for your time. This has been a pleasure. You and your team are doing a great job, and I hope you guys have enjoyed the second episode of the Swing Hard Podcast. If you've got other topics, ideas, suggestions you would like us to talk about on the Swing Hard Podcast, let me know in the comments below. We've just done a little bit of a deeper dive into what we do in the off season in the golf business. I'll see you next time.